My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Anthony almost had a co-host. Just had a security or I don't know what she is. Some lady just like, can I talk on one of them headsets too? I was like, no, ma'am.
Yeah, I heard her in the background.
I was like, no, you know you cannot. You can go do your job. I'm doing mine. Thank you. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your care for the show, but you're gonna keep going that way. If you'd like to you know participate in the show, there is a way, Anthony. You know, you could watch us on YouTube, and you could go to the comment section, and you could leave a comment, and then perhaps I'll read it in this segment.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right. You know how it works. We post up the show on YouTube at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman. We then put on our hazmat suits, we dive into the comments, we pick out the ones that we want to respond to, and we do it Thursdays at 5:30 live on the radio. Obviously, we're pretty much all Commanders at this point, so lots of Commanders comments to get to. And Anthony, I thought I'd start us with, I'm going to call this an amuse-bouche of a comment, kind of the just a palate cleanser to remind us how much fun this is. Jason Dean, BJ3UN, says, Dan Quinn needs to quit making excuses. Fix the problem. Let's go to it. We brought you in here and you started talking big things. And Adam Peter started talking big things. You don't need to get your act together. And let's see what happens and quit winning with 7 field goals and get some damn touchdowns. Anthony, I didn't pick this because those are all words in English that don't go particularly in that order well. I didn't pick this because, you know, he misspelled Adam Peters. I didn't pick this one because this sounds like someone who's absolutely hammered on YouTube at 3 in the morning leaving comments. I picked this because this is the first time in the channel's history / in my time doing this job that I've ever had any correspondence with a fan that included quit winning.
Sometimes you gotta laugh, Craig. You just have to laugh because wow.
Quit winning with field goals, score some damn touchdowns. We're not gonna be able to keep winning with field goals. Quit winning with field goals. I mean, that Anthony, that is dedication to being process-oriented.
Man, the amount of games won off of field goals is just, you know, mind-boggling. And for us to not, you know, use those when, you know, those are opportunities to get points is even more
touchdown. Touchdowns are better than field goals. Field goals are better than no points.
Yes.
Yes, they need to get better in the red zone. Quit winning.
Quit winning. Yeah,
two words that went together in a comment, and now that our palate is awoken, let's dive into comments that perhaps might incite some more intelligent discussion. Javier Ordonez, 2445, says, I understand the argument about the defense needing more time to come together, but Quinn's defense in Dallas had the same tendency to let up a lot of rushing yards. And I picked this comment out, Anthony, because it is correct. If you look at the, you know, yards per rush type of stats, or even yards per game rushing, Dan's defenses did not finish particularly well in those categories. They did much better against the pass in general, but they gave up some rushing yards. And yet, if you look at total defense, they were top five two of his 3 years, I believe, that he was in Dallas. They won 12 games all of those years. Obviously, what Dak and the offense does has a huge role in that, but they were able to overcome the ground game. And I think there's two points I want to make off of this that are really important and that are kind of essential parts of what this team ultimately becomes if it's going to be in the same vein as those Dallas defenses and the Seattle defenses before that in terms of success. And those points start with this. In order for this defense to be successful, they need to get turnovers. That is what the lifeblood of that Dallas defense does. Yeah, we'll give up some yards, but eventually we're going to take the ball away. And so the formula that they used on Sunday, give up some yards here, give up some yards there, but Benjamin St. Juice eventually goes, peanut punches a ball out, and we steal a possession. That's the difference in the ball game that you win by one possession. Now you can start generating one to three per game, and maybe you find eventually your own pick six monster like Deron Bland was, and your defense is scoring, and now we're cooking. That's what the Dan Quinn defense and the Joe Witt defense is about, is like, let's get going at a rate where we're creating turnovers, and we're having, even if we give up, we can give up 80 yards in a drive and get an interception in the end zone. Now, you know, might as well have been a touchback for a punt. It's just a lot of extra effort. Not as good as forcing a punt, but the result's ultimately the same. 0 points and the ball on the 20-yard line. Cool. Sick. Let's do it. But I also think the other part of that is you are more likely to die a certain and instant death giving up stuff in the pass game than you are in the run game. And this is why, if you want to be, I'm not saying that the commenter here is a dumb fan. So let's not connect those dots. But if you want to be the smartest version of yourself as a fan, it's really, really important to follow trends across the league. And right now, running the football is having a bit of a revolution in the league because of a number of reasons. Most, I would say, analysts agree that the biggest reason is teams have switched to playing a lot more too high. They're playing with wider boxes. And as a result, teams are like, okay, if you're going to play with a lighter box, even though we want to pass the football because the EPA per play is higher, we can get a higher yards per play, all that kind of stuff on average, if you're going to give us this yardage and it's relatively risk-free because the fumbles per carry number percentage is lower than the interceptions per pass attempt, so we're limiting our risk of turnovers, we're just going to take these free yards. And so, yes, there is going to be an adjustment period for all of us as fans to be like, ugh, this feels really bad. But if you give up, let's say on a drive starter, you give up a 15-yard carry. That's obviously not ideal. Giving up an explosive run means you gave up an explosive play. You've given away a chunk of field position at the very least. But, okay, we're back at first and 10 again, 15 yards further up than where we started. Okay, you run the football again. This time it's minus two. Well, you're averaging like 7 yards a carry at that point, or 6.5 yards a carry, but, which is bad, but now you're in second and 12. We can live with that. And so there's a little bit of the rushing yardage. Yes, does it need to get better? Absolutely. But some of this is built in, and the bigger problem, this is where you're like, well, okay, well, what, they can't stop the pass. Yeah, that's the problem. The bigger problem is the Commanders' issues in coverage and not landing the plane when it comes to sacking the quarterback. Their pressure rate against Tampa was really, really good. Their finish rate was dreadful. They did not get a lot of pressure against New York because New York went just completely all out in making sure that Daniel Jones wasn't taking a ton of pressure. So they've got to figure out how to make plays in the pass game. They've got to get, you know, sacks. They've got to make sure they're more solid there, forcing higher incompletion percentages, obviously creating turnovers. But the run defense, while it can improve, is actually not the thing that I am quite as worried about as the other side of the ball. So that's why I wanted to talk about that, because you are correct that they had some of the same tendencies, yet they were one of the five best defenses in football for multiple years because they were hard to pass on. They had great sacks production in terms of Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and what they were able to do, and they turned the football over at a higher rate than anyone else in the league. I'm sure Balzer71, B-A-L-S-E-R, Balzer71, or maybe it's, I don't know. We're just going to go with Balzer. Balzer77 says, you guys are downplaying just how bad this defense is. The Giants easily score 30 points in 22 minutes time of possession with a kicker and no punch for a fumble or drop by neighbors. Joe Witt's defense is a dumpster fire. Why do people do the what-if game?
God dang.
Why do people do the what-if game like this? Yeah, if they didn't create the turnover, they did. Oh, 22 minutes time of possession. Yeah, okay. Well, the offense controlled the football on the other side of it. And if, you know, the kicker is there, then maybe they give up fewer points in certain situations because does it affect the play calling and how aggressive they are? Like, they had to play one game. And I do think that there was a little bit of how they played some of those drives that knew that the Giants didn't have a kicker. And they were willing to give up certain yardage because they're like, getting into field goal range isn't a threat. Go ahead, come down in the red zone and then try to score because it's really hard to score down there. Or it should be. The Giants did a good job. That's not ideal. That's something they got to fix. But you played the game once. And I think Tischler did a great job talking about this on Tuesday of how the way they called the game offensively, the way they called the game defensively was influenced in real time because they were playing the game that was in front of them. And this is another example of using stats goes bad. Yes, there are stats that look bad, but stats, especially in small sample sizes, which is where we are two games into the season, require context. And what they are right now is not what they'll be even next week. So, there are no bonus points for having the hottest take in week two. I'd actually say there's negative points for having the hottest take in week two. So to go as far to say there's a dumpster fire, like, come on. And especially when you're playing the what-if game, get out of here with that. We don't need that nonsense. This is an interesting screen name, Anthony. We got Deontay Douglas, State Police 4246.
50505-0.
Is that his badge number?
That's what I was going to ask. Do we think the 4246 is his badge number? Can we look this up? Can we FOIA this?
Say it one more time.
We're not going to process a Freedom of Information Act request. We could. I don't even know if we have to. That might be something you can Google. Can you Google badge numbers?
I don't know.
We're not going to go to. Anyway, I also wonder what state. Is he a Virginia state trooper? A Maryland state trooper? Is he watching on YouTube from, I don't know, Maine? Is he a Maine state trooper? Deontay, tell us more about yourself. You've already told us that you're state police. Anyway, the popo's in the comments. We know Deontay's not a coach because he's state police. It's clear to see what's wrong with the defensive line. The defensive line is spread too wide. Bring the line together. It's hard to play off of each other when you are that far away from your teammate. The line is spreaded so far away from each other that they are giving the runner a head of steam before anybody touches him. It's not the players. It's definitely the coaches calling a spread style defense on the line. Bring the line closer together, period. Deontay's got it all figured out, coach. I did reply, what about the edges then? And maybe Deontay's on patrol because he didn't respond, Anthony.
I think he should stick to his day job.
Anthony said it, not me. He said it, not me. It has crossed my mind at times that their alignment seems wide on the interior. However, it is also the standard alignment. Like, I'm like, wait, that looks a little wide. Oh, John's at a 3-tech, Duran's at a 1-tech. That's where they line up. I do think it's interesting watching some of the offensive line splits. Like, those that can get wider because the offensive linemen are lining up farther away or closer in certain formations or situations. I do think they do need to do a better job to pinch on some of these. Like, they're getting double teamed and they need to fight harder back against some of these double teams so that a guy like Jeremy Chinn does not have an 8-yard gap to cover. Can we make that a 4-yard gap? And he's much more likely to make the tackle. And we'll talk more about Chinn in a second. But I don't think that's going to solve all your problems, because then, okay, now what happens when they run off tackle? Like, they run outside zone, and now all of a sudden it's a really easy down block for the tackle on the edge because they're pinched together. So I hate to say it, Deontay, not a cure-all. Unfortunately, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board on that one. Speaking of Jeremy Chinn, I've got a couple versions of this, Anthony. We're at Working Class Outdoors. I also have questions about this person. Working Class Outdoors, is this a working class person who likes to go camping? Or is this someone who works in the outdoors? I'm gonna guess they're a camping hobbyist.
Yeah.
And ironically, they're asking about someone named Forrest. I mean, that works out, checks out. This is the right, I picked the right comment here. I didn't even do that on purpose. This is a realization I'm having in real time. Working Class Outdoors says, I see a lot of people asking why Forrest and Owens, as in Derek Forrest and Tyler Owens, aren't getting any play time on defense. What are your thoughts on that? I'm going to start by answering a question with a question. And since, Anthony, you're the only person around to answer, do you remember the last time that Derek Forrest played?
The last time he played,
he's been inactive the first two games of the season.
Played last year to start the season?
He played that, and then he played in the preseason against Miami.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know where the defining thing in his preseason game against Miami?
Oh, was it a blown cover? No, missed tackle.
Bingo! So everyone tackle. Wants the guy who was last seen missing tackles to come in and replace the guy who's missing tackles because his defensive tackles are leaving him acres of space to cover. Look, is Jeremy Chinn having an otherworldly season? Absolutely not. But there is a weird thing fans do that, you know, kind of the old phrase, it was a quarterback of everyone's favorite player is the backup quarterback because, oh, he hasn't made a mistake. And we're doing this at safety in a way that is very, very silly. Tyler Owens is an undrafted free agent. Very, very good undrafted free agent. A guy who might become a player at that position. He's very instinctual. He's very physical. But he played well in the preseason against dudes who aren't in the league anymore. Third and fourth stringers. He eventually got a couple of reps against some second stringers, and he played fine. But, like, we were out there in training camp. He also made mistakes. He's a young player, and that's what young players do. They make mistakes. Derek Forrest did not have a good spring or a good summer. He was hurt for quite a bit. He missed tackles. Some of the communication issues that have cropped up in the past were there. And I'm not telling you that if Derek Forrest went out there, he would be terrible, or that Derek Forrest is a bad football player. But the reason the guys that are playing right now is because they were better than the guys that you want to play that you haven't seen in 2 weeks and seem to have forgotten all their flaws. And I hate to be that harsh about it, but this is a very silly thing that we do every single year. And the thing is, then we remember, and fans especially remember, oh, well, we were calling for player X and he came in and he was awesome. And it happens every once in a while. And no one remembers all the times that it doesn't go well. Because I'm sure, like, I'll give you a very current example. Anthony, how many people after week one were like, play Michael Davis?
A decent amount.
How'd that go?
Very bad.
You think the guy that lost out on a start, like Emmanuel Forbes beat out and Noah Igbinoghene beat out, might be worse than those two players? Like, all those training camp reps and snaps, like, they maybe didn't learn something? These guys who have made careers in the NFL, 20-plus years coaching on the defensive side of the football, Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, you think maybe they can evaluate players a little bit? The assistant general manager from a team that's gone to 2 Super Bowls in the last 7 years, coming over to be the general manager here in Adam Peters, you think maybe he knows a little bit about what he's doing when they got those guys in-house and made evaluations? Asking them to perform in similar situations against similar people, and one group of players, the ones that are playing, perform better than the other ones that are not, and you're going to sit here on YouTube and ask for the other guys? That's my thoughts on it, to answer the question.
I felt the passion, Greg.
That's more effective radio than banging my head on the desk.
Yes.
Here's more, Anthony. Ready for this one? Ready for another hot take in week two category of comment? As we're doing Never Read the Comments here on The Hoffman Show, you can leave yours at Craig Hoffman on YouTube. Jason Saunders, 1353. Ready for it, Anthony? Allen is trash. Never done anything. Two games, he's no threat. He's trash. Trade him for next year's second rounder and third rounder. Again, did I pick this comment for the reasons that many of you think I picked this comment? Sure didn't. It's not that he's calling a grown man who is a multiple-time Pro Bowler trash for two games worth of performance. No, it's not that. It's that he did the bit where he thinks John Allen is trash, Anthony, and yet another team is going to trade a second and third rounder for him. How's that mathematics? This guy sucks. Get him out of here. He sucks. And by the way, you better do it for a first rounder. What? Pick one, bro. If you think he's trash, then accept trade him. He's trash. I don't care if they get a fifth rounder. Okay, that's not what I would do, but at least that's a coherent opinion. Oh, second and third rounder for a guy who's got no guaranteed money left? What are we talking about?
He's trash.
Hey, I think John Allen's probably worth a second or third rounder. Or a second and a third rounder. He's a good football player. But if he's trash, you ain't getting a second and a third for him. It's my absolute favorites. A couple of fun ones to wrap up here, Anthony, because I can't resist. And we also have a philosophical show question we need to answer. But the first one, I had to delay because I can't say this username out loud with people walking by because it's so silly. The username is at BloodFarts, Anthony. Farts with a Z.
What?
As we're live at Capital One Arena and there are people walking by, there's only so loud I want to say that.
Blood. Can they hear me?
No. They're, yeah.
Blood so Anthony, farts?
Can, yeah. Yep. That
with
is correct.
A Z. Wow.
With a Z. With a Z.
Wow. Nice.
And he's got comments on Gary. Gary in Upper Marlboro, who's become a... Oh, what's funny is I don't think Gary realizes he's a quasi-YouTube star. I don't think Gary consumes the show on YouTube. He just calls in on the radio show and has just missed the entire part where the internet has had lots of fun with him. He went viral on TikTok once. Anyway, but maybe he's listening right now because there's no one here. Bloodfart said, Gary listens to all the local shows and calls in all day. Is Gary unemployed? I don't want to imagine that he's calling in from his work cubicle, which is kind of a funny mental image. I do sometimes wonder, like, where people are calling from. I assume that most people that call into the show are calling from their cars.
Yeah.
I just, like, especially in the world of Bluetooth and all these cars, are people either yelling into their phones or are they just, like, yelling at me in their cars and the people next to them on the beltway are like, what's going on over there?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's
a great question.
Yeah, I mean... Look, if you're driving, don't take video of yourself, but maybe we should start asking folks, where are you calling in from? I said Upper Marlboro. No, literally, where are you right now? Last but not least, Anthony, here's our philosophical show question. Samuel Lake, 1556, says, I'm watching this at about 11 at night my time, and that whistle at the start just about killed me. And, you know, we have a whistle sound effect at the start of multiple of our segments of Not My Beat. No, Not My Beat doesn't have one, but the Pick Six has one. That's the one where I hear about this the most. And I think First and Ten might have a whistle because a lot of the production service that we use, a lot of their football sounders start with a whistle. And I have gotten multiple comments over the years, including that one from Samuel Lake. And this one from CB Lification says, Craig, and I love your content and consume it most days, but the volume of the intros or when you segue to a different topic is loud and the whistle wakes me up. And so, Anthony, and I've also the funniest one. I don't have this one in front of me, but I got one last week that I was basically like, sorry, dude, we talk about football. There's whistle sound effects. And someone was like, if you had dogs, you would understand. Do we need to change our intros to get rid of the whistles, or do people just not need to listen to our show so damn loud?
That's actually funny as hell.
I agree. I think it's hilarious.
Bringing the dog in. But no, I don't think we need to.
I don't either.
To change anything.
I don't either. Look,
it's funny as a
when you click.
It's when bad you
click
when you have dogs.
I appreciate that you can now watch, you know, the clips on YouTube, like on a smart TV. I watch a lot of YouTube on smart TVs, and thus it's like out into the world. It's projected into your living room or your whatever, and that can be loud. How loud are y'all listening to or watching the show?
Yeah.
That's really my question. I did have one person that was like, I like to take it ahead of, or sometimes I take like a power nap, and then the segment change will wake me up. And I'm like, if you're falling asleep listening to us, that feels like an insult. So I'm definitely not changing it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wake up, fool.
All right. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, beware of the whistles. We're doing pick six next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.